Left and right.
What is right?
That's not right.
Am I right or am I right?
Yeah, he's right.
I could be wrong. The vaccine could be fatal.
Kind of like an abortion.
Abortion is murder.
Healthcare provider.
Church.
State. Global warming.
Gun control.
Immigration.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Always forward. For a better America. For an endless, enduring dream and a thousand points of light.
For the last 9 days, the entire world has seen for itself the state of our union, and it is strong.
You can do anything.
Whatever you want.
Grab him by the pussy.
Oh, that's not right.
Hello and welcome to Are We Right? Now, Dan's not with me for the intro today, and there are no Trump tweets this week. Dan asked me to say a few short words about the tragic events in Charlottesville and the violence and hate that is occurring across the country. I honestly don't know what to say. We have discussed the beginnings of an intellectual civil war on a few episodes of our show. Heather Heyer and the other citizens who were injured during the protests are victims of this war. Every act of violence and every death during political protest is tragic. When our president spoke to the country after the events of this tragedy, he failed us. Due to his lack of empathy or understanding, he pointed to violence on both sides. Dan and I want to do what our president failed to do. We condemn in no uncertain terms both the neo-Nazis and the KKK for inciting violence and spreading hatred. There is no room to support people who align themselves with hate groups. When one group wants to commit acts of violence against others based on race or beliefs, we must stand together in our opposition to such hate. There is no room for white supremacy or racism in this country. This isn't politics. It's not right versus left. It's right versus wrong. Now, our episode today was on the environment. We got a little ranty because we tried recording two episodes in one sitting. So definitely want to apologize in advance. We didn't have all the facts and figures. We hadn't fully thought this out, but I think we had a vaguely productive conversation about issues around global warming, around science, and around what we can do to take care of the environment and the world that God's given us and the responsibility that we have to do so. So again, would appreciate any feedback if you feel like we were just kind of talking too much off the cuff. If we needed to check our sources, please push back on us. But without further ado, please enjoy this episode on global warming and the environment. This week's topic is global warming. You've heard the environment addressed both during the campaign and throughout Trump's first few months in office as a major issue. We've come into discussions about the Paris Agreement. We've had marches for science that have been very much directed towards this goal of basically listening to the scientists and taking their feedback and trying to save our planet. And this idea of we're worried about the coral reefs, we're worried about the fact that we're investing in these industries like coal that are clearly dying industries and are not investing in renewable energy like wind and solar, where we've seen huge amounts of job growth. So these issues of the economy, that we need to be the first in these new energy sources. We need to be looking forward as opposed to backwards. We need to be looking towards things that benefit and cause little impact on our environment, as opposed to basically relying on the old energy sources that have clearly caused certain damages to the environment, or at least have some sort of pollution or smog cost that we've had to address over the several last decades of coming up with environmental regulation. And now we see kind of effectively a legislation and a presidency that is stepping away from being the leader in the world of leading the way on regulations on the environment. And this, for some people, see this as an issue of infrastructure. That sure, it's a big problem that our planet might explode or whatever else is going to happen. But there's all these problems with our infrastructure of needing the right types of energy, of needing the ability to have consistent energy. The Paris Agreement is another just kind of a debate that we've had of what do we do as America? We've always been this leader in, you know, whether it's civil rights or labor rights. And we've kind of taken this position, at least during the Obama years, as effectively a leader in fighting global warming. And we've also had people on the right saying that this is a hoax, that this is all fake, that this is
something, you know, the president tweeted that basically that China made it up just to kind of cripple our infrastructure to make us put in place these regulations that would slow us down. And I'd say, Dan, that I don't think we agree with that.
I don't agree with that at all.
Oh, well, that's good to know. We're really concerned with this voice from the right that believes that everything global warming, everything that comes from the scientists about global warming is just fake news, is a hoax, is being pushed by some shady corporate entity or by the Illuminati. But what I think our debate effectively is, what does it matter? If we make the environment better, if we switch to renewable energies, we're going to be better for the long term. There's not a lot of downsides to having a better environment, of having better environmental regulations. The only argument is purely an economic one of, you know, do these taxes and these regulations, are they being used for things that don't matter, that aren't as urgent as they seem? And on the left, we've heard these messages of the planet is going to, you know, crumble in a few years if we don't do anything, like on the more extreme sides, and on the more moderate sides, just saying like, hey, this is something that's very important. We want our children to have a healthy, clean world to live in. And we think that things like the Paris Agreement, we think things like renewable energy are the ways to get there. And we need to follow this plan. Otherwise, we're going to find ourselves in a world that we don't want to live in and find ourselves, you know, giving our children this world that they will inherit that is full of these problems. It's full of manufacturing that isn't sustainable. So here we are in this world. Here we are in this place where Trump does not really isn't taking leadership on this issue. So what do we want to say to the right here, Dan? What do we want to say to people that feel like global warming isn't a major issue or is potentially even a completely false fact?
Right. So this is actually a point of one of the things that I kind of respond personally to, because a member of my own family, my uncle, is constantly posting things on Facebook about how global warming is a hoax. And I just did a quick Facebook search, Joe Marino hoax, just searching for those three words. And more on the climate change hoax. More fake data to bolster the man-made climate change hoax. More fraud at NOAA. Man-made climate change is a hoax. This climate change hoax. Climate change hoax. 2015, 2014, he's been posting, and these are just with those words. Like he posts about stuff and doesn't even use the word hoax, but it's sure. It's all over the place with him, and he's not the only one that feels this way.
Not at all. I mean, if you look at Fox News, and I the article I pulled up here was from Vox, Donald Trump has tweeted climate change skepticism 115 times,
right,
starting in 2011. So this has been a conservative idea for a while.
Right. So, and it's, I don't really understand why, but the basic argument is that it's all, you know, conservatives don't like higher taxes, and this is all an effort to raise your taxes, to take more money from you, and it's all a hoax, and there are scientists who disagree and won't go along with this narrative. Their funding is cut off. So that's why the majority of the scientists say, yeah, global warming is real. It's because they're afraid of losing their funding. So there's this shadowy organization that is trying to make money off this hoax. Okay, so let's say that this is correct, that there are That climate change is a hoax. So that means that, okay, a bunch of shadowy rich people are trying to get richer.
The lizard people.
The lizard people, the Illuminati.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm aware.
Even if that is the case, my question is, what's wrong with wanting to cut down on pollution? Like, we all know about how Los Angeles, back even in the 70s, was so bad that people's eyes were watering just from walking around, and people were getting really sick, and it was a real problem. What's wrong with wanting to cut down on pollution? And right now we've got wind and solar, both renewable energies, free energy from the sun and from the wind.
And job creators, new industries.
Right. It's ushering us into the future, being... our country could be on the forefront of inventing the new technology of tomorrow. It's becoming cheaper and more efficient than coal, which is a huge source of pollution. Also, Tesla is building cars that are becoming more efficient than gasoline. It's just running on electricity. I'm not the resident tech guy. If you want to talk about Tesla a little bit and what they're doing.
Sure, I'd be happy to. And now I wish we had our other friend Eric here. He's been raving about his little electric car. But I think that no matter your politics, we can all see that there's a logical and potential end to coal and oil energy just because they're finite energy sources, right? Like there's only so much, there's only so many dinosaurs or whatever that died and became oil or however you see it. There's only so
much. Wherever you stand on this issue, you have to understand that at some point we're not going to have oil to work with anymore. Right.
So we eventually at some point need to get to renewable energy. So now we're basically arguing over how urgent is it and when should be the argument.
Right.
Of just, is this really something that needs to happen in the next 5 to 10 years, or can it be spread out over the next century?
And we need to understand that we've got a giant source of energy in the sky that is giving us free energy day after day. That's why, you know, our friend Eric is able to effectively fill up his car to charge up his vehicle for pennies.
Sure.
And he can run all day.
Yeah. If you guys know Eric Schiller, just ask him about his car and he'll take you on a test drive for about an hour and just explain the whole thing to you. But no, it is really exciting. He's one of the first people in my circle that has been able to take advantage of this new trend of he went from a gas cost of several hundred dollars to usually paying under $100 a month. He's able to have this car that is very affordable and has fairly good mileage as far as range. He's able to go everywhere he needs to. And he can charge at my house, his house.
Charging stations are being more and more regular. You're seeing them all over.
Right. So he has access and it's not really that different than having a regular car. And so to Dan's original point, Elon Musk and Tesla has been kind of the pusher of trying to get us into this future of right now, through Tesla and his different companies, you can effectively get a power station built into your house. He sells a solar roof, which is effectively just the same as any solar panels you see, but built into the actual roof.
Right. And I looked at the price for the roof, and it's to re-shingle your roof with these solar panel shingles. Is about the cost of getting a new roof anyway. Like exactly. It's very comparable, and they work as genuine roof tiles. They're durable, but you get the added benefit of you are now powering your house and effectively eliminating your electric bill.
Right, and it looks pretty cool, and you get to feel like you're James Bond with this like solar powered roof.
Right, because James Bond had a solar powered roof.
You remember that episode?
Right. Because James Bond is episodic.
Yeah. My favorite episode of James Bond, the episodic series. No, it really is. It is funny. Of like, I was quoted recently. There were some guys that came saying they needed to fix my roof. There were some leaks in it, and they quoted me like almost $30,000. And I think for about the same price, I could get this solar powered roof where I would be able to generate my own energy and either store it with Tesla provides these battery storage units. So you can keep your power here so that at night you can basically pull off your own supply as opposed to needing to go out to the electric companies. And then you can also use that electricity during the day to charge your car, to power your house so that you aren't paying anything. And effectively you can be selling back into the market, into the electric grid.
So not only is this cutting down on pollution, it's cheaper for you, which is a conservative value, financial, economic responsibility. So it seems like whether or not this is real, and we'll say for the benefit of the doubt, climate change is a hoax. We'll say that it's what you are saying is true.
Sure.
You should still want the things that people who think that climate change is real. We both should want the same things: cutting down on pollution and cheaper, more efficient energy.
It benefits us all,
right? So I don't understand like what's wrong with what we're asking for. We both should want the same things, but for different reasons, and we both are happy with the outcome. I don't understand what the pushback is, but we'll say for the benefit of the doubt, climate change is a hoax, bunch of shadowy people trying to get richer, cutting off funds from people who won't go along with this line.
Right.
That's the worst case scenario if what you're saying is true, that climate change is a hoax.
Right.
Now, what if you're wrong? What if climate change is actually happening? And you are being lied to, by your news sources. And I want to go through some of my uncle's news sources. Washington Examiner, which is not the Washington Post.
That sounds so similar.
RealClimateScience.com.
Oh, well, they got to be true.
You got, yeah, I can buy that.
It's got real right in the name.
Right. What's up with that? WATTS. So like, what's up with that?
Yeah, that's clever.
Washington Times. Again, not the Washington Post. Real Clear Policy.
So a lot of very trustworthy sources.
It's
conservative leaning.
Like it's one of those where it's like, oh, that sounds like Real Clear Politics, but it's different enough that like,
right. They like took a name and played ad libs with it. Yeah.
And it's these conspiracy theories are perpetuated by fake news sources, and he's constantly talking about how he listens to George Nori. I don't know if you know who George Nori is, but he's Coast to Coast AM, which is middle of the night talk radio where they have the people who, oh, I've seen aliens, chemtrails. It's all of these conspiracy,
Alex Jones, like the Wars,
it's,
yeah.
A little more tame than Alex Jones, but basically the same thing where it's the same place where he heard. We talked about this in the first episode that the CIA was actually the one that was interfering with our elections and making it look like it was Russia. So you're getting the idea of where this, like all those people who are unreliable sources are then lying to you if you're wrong.
Right.
And the things that you're posting and the outrage that you're having is actually holding us back from solving a very real problem. And so the things you're posting are dangerous
right.
at that point if you're wrong.
And so why?
So you're weighing against shadowy figures getting richer,
right.
or
versus
the world
is on fire.
Right. And so the question that we want to pose to those that may feel like global warming is a hoax is why would these news sources be telling you this, right? Like why would this be such a prevalent story? And I think my perception of it is. One, as far as a little bit of a teaser to our next episode, we're going to start talking about the media and just the journalism in the current age, the idea of fake news. You know, news organizations are for-profit companies, and they will write about whatever you listen to. And stories that seem like exciting conspiracies or that confirm a bias that you already have, they get clicked on more, and so they write more stories about it. In addition to, like, you know, we heard all those sources. I'm looking at an article right now that says how fossil fuel money made climate change denial the word of God. Mm-hmm. And I've heard this story in a variety of different ways, but effectively a lot of different oil companies and gas companies did research into global warming, found it to be true, and then started stepping back that statement and starting basically putting out science and studies and different press and media basically trying to suppress that idea the same way that we had with the tobacco companies when it came out that like, no, this really causes lung cancer. We cannot, you know, people will not survive this. And, you know, the lobbyists and the different companies were aggressively trying to suppress this idea so that they could maximize profits. And so you have to be very aware that there are companies trying to trick you that are trying to sell you a false bill of goods. And I want to be aware of that too, because like this article could just as easily be funded by someone else with some different motives. But as far as I can tell, and from what I've looked through, the ideas are that it's been pushed by a lot of these oil and gas companies because it provides value to them for us to not aggressively pursue changes and new energy and opposed to global warming.
Yeah. So let's get rid of the science for a minute, because people who think that global warming is not happening, they have like, it's this really weird situation where we both have our own science and we have our own like, well, I have this fact and figure, and I have this fact and figure. Right. Well, yours isn't really peer reviewed. Well, but it is. This is what it says. So, let's look at Venice, Italy. Okay, everyone knows about Venice, Italy, the city with the streets made of water. What is it? They have canals. They have canals running through the. It's with the gondolas and the people singing. You know.
Very romantic.
Very romantic. And they experience, you know, flooding from time to time as the tide comes in. They always have. But what we're seeing now is storefronts actually flooding and merchandise getting ruined because the water is coming in. There's shop owners. I was watching. They were going to Venice and talking about this issue because it's a relatively new problem, and they're showing us the water line in their stores that they've never had before, and right. It's flooding homes, it's flooding shops, it's turning into a real problem, and you're seeing that this is a real world example of the sea levels rising,
right.
To the point where they've invested millions of dollars into the MOES system, which is a series of I don't even know how to describe it, but it's like these tide blocks that can be raised or lowered depending on how the tide is coming in to keep Venice from flooding. And Venice is built on the ocean. And so if the sea levels are rising, we should be expecting Venice to be flooding first out of all of us. Mm-hmm. And they are.
Right.
So like this is one of those things where okay, like I trust science. I didn't go to school for climatology, but I trust those who did go to school for climatology that when they say, here's what the earth is doing, I can go, this is probably what the earth is doing. I trust that.
Right.
But from there, I go, okay, if these guys are telling me the truth, then I should look around and see signs of this. And this is a very clear example. Like, you can argue about more hurricanes and more like weather issues.
Right.
And I think that those weather anomalies are definitely a part of climate change. But I feel like with Venice, it's not really debatable. And you look at satellite imagery and you see that the shorelines are shrinking too.
Right.
So, like, we can quibble about science, but look around and what does what we actually see happening? Who does that agree with? It agrees with the climate scientists who are saying, no, this is a problem. The sea levels are rising.
Right. Yeah. And it's one of those things where, like, especially early on, I often heard the argument, especially from Christian conservatives, saying that, like, oh, well, like, it's very prideful of us to think that we have an effect on the environment. Like, you know, the world's been here for hundreds of years and it will continue to be here and we can't affect it.
I'm sorry. How many times? Well, millions of years, right?
Oh, like at least 4,000.
Right, right. So at least, okay, we'll even say like the 4,000. No, it's been around for millions of years, Chris.
Sure.
Billions of
years. I'll give you that point.
Billions of years. The Earth has been around for billions of years. And I'm sorry. Since humanity has come to Ohio, how many times has the river caught fire? like, you say that we can't have an impact on the environment. Like, fire shouldn't burn, like water shouldn't burn, and the Ohio River has caught fire because of us. It's not the Ohio River, it's the Kadoobadoobadoo River.
That's my favorite river. But no, I mean, like, to any of those points, like, we just talked about nuclear, you know, armament and issues like that. Like, we know that if we really tried, we could really ruin this planet if we wanted to.
Right.
And we've seen in, like, whether it's, like, cities in China and Beijing of the air quality there, like you talked about earlier in Los Angeles, there used to be really, really bad air quality and we had to kind of step back.
Oil spills in the ocean.
Yeah, the BP story is, like, we do have the ability to really damage the ecosystem that we live in. We are just one among many animals. We are the most powerful and we have the most ability to cause massive widespread change in the environment and the ecosystem.
Yeah.
So we have to be responsible with what we do and we have to look at the damage that we've done in the past and how we've corrected from that. And we need to keep correcting.
And especially Christians who, like, these Christian conservatives should, okay, like, when God handed over the earth to Adam, he said, like, this is yours, but there's a very clear mandate that we are to be stewards of the environment.
Mm-hmm.
It goes back to just even primeval human history. Like, we are called to take care of the environment. And I found this tweet that just absolutely blew my mind from this guy, Eric Erickson. And he says, I worship Jesus, not Mother Earth. He calls us all to be good stewards of the planet, But that doesn't mean I have to care about global warming. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. If global warming is an actual problem with the planet, then it absolutely does mean you have to care about it. Like, you are called to take care of the planet. And if our actions are causing climate change, and I think that there's evidence that it is, then we need to take real...
You need to take a really close look at what the Bible says and hold that to the evidence that we see around us.
Right. The Christians should have an ethic of taking care of the environment because it is ours to take care of. We have all like people who don't believe in God who still care about the environment are doing a much better job than the people who believe that God actually gave them the planet and said, here, take care of this. Mm-hmm. Like, and that's like, Christians should be the first in line to say, like, if we are doing this, we need to fix it. And I just remembered this one article from the Rodney and Automatia Times. I think this is from New Zealand. It's August 14th, 1912. That's 100 years ago. And if, you know, people say that this climate change hoax is very recent, like, right?
It's all
like,
made up by the media in the recent years.
Right, so. Right, right. So, Science Notes and News, this is from 1912. Coal consumption affecting climate. The furnaces of the world are now burning about, let's see, that's 2 billion tons of coal a year. When this is burned, uniting with oxygen, it adds about 7 billion tons of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere yearly, because CO2, you got 2 oxygen, so it's going to weigh more, just for those who don't understand how it weighs more. Of carbon dioxide to the atmosphere yearly. This tends to make the air a more effective blanket for the Earth and to raise its temperature. The effect may be considerable in a few centuries. Right. So here they're already talking about how the furnaces adding all this CO2 to the environment could cause the Earth to warm up, right, and that would have considerable effects in a few centuries. But that wasn't accounting for like the Industrial Revolution.
Right, that we would massively ramp up our production.
That like cars would be invented and they would start guzzling gasoline and shooting like high population centers, shooting CO2 into the atmosphere and ramping up all these our production of CO2.
Would go up so much, right, so quickly.
So, I may actually be wrong on the years of the Industrial Revolution there, but... Yeah, I was like, well,
in the 20th century,
they started noticing as a result of the Industrial Revolution that the CO2 levels were rising, right. And so then as industry expanded and boomed and more technology came along, where we were sending more, like that exponentially grew, and so centuries became decades, right. So now we're here at a century later, and we're in a real problem,
right?
And so, that's another, I think, nail in the coffin. It may not be the final nail in the coffin, sure, but the fact that science has been talking about this for 100 years, I don't see how you get a hoax out of that.
We've had so many things of, like, whether it's holes in the ozone, we've had ice caps melting, like things that are fairly clearly new and affected by us. Right, real life changes that we're not just making up. It's like we are having an effect on the environment, and frankly, we don't have enough science to fully understand exactly what's going to happen. We have projections based on scientists to say it could get bad, and it already is bad, and it's going to get worse. That's all we know. We don't know exactly how the world's going to melt or burn or whatever else is going to happen, but we know that we have an effect, and it's a fairly negative effect on the ecosystem.
We can see the temperature of the Earth rising in conjunction with our CO2 levels. Right. Rising in the atmosphere, and we can see as we go along human history how like CO2 levels have been rising pretty steadily for most of the history of the world. We know this through taking core samples from glaciers. We can see what the CO2 levels were like back in a million years ago, billions of years ago. And so they have been rising, but you can see as human activity has started involving practices that produce CO2, you see it shoot up in a way that is not consistent with the way it's been rising before.
Right.
And that goes in conjunction with average temperatures of the planet. So I'm not a scientist. And you got to be careful about like cause and effect. But to me, that's data. That is real. And I don't know why we're saying that this is a hoax. Like,
well, Dan, let me give you some good news. I think we convinced one of our best friends, one of our dear friends on the show here. This is a tweet from August 8th. Bill O'Reilly.
Oh.
Yeah.
Like this month, August 8th?
Yeah. This. Let me make sure, actually. Yep. August 8th, 2017. I can't do a Bill O'Reilly impression, so I'm just going to read this. Putin once again vacationing topless. He's in Siberia snorkeling. So many tropical reefs there. Must be global warming. Have a blast, Vlad. So I think he understands that there's a connection between the reefs and global warming. So I think we've educated him a little bit here.
Maybe.
Maybe. And
I'm
he knows.
Worried about him being sarcastic. By the way, if you want to do a Bill O'Reilly accent, you just have to do a really angry, misogynistic Irishman, and you got it.
Got it. Perfect.
But without the Irish accent.
I'll work on that for next week.
Got it.
Yeah, so again, we're not scientists. We haven't solved this, but we'd like you to consider what's the worst that could happen if we really cleaned up the environment?
On either side, we should be taking the same steps. Like, to me, it doesn't make sense at all. And
yeah, unfortunately, this is one of those boring episodes where we're in far too much agreement, so there's not a lot of dissonance.
Right, like
but clean it up and buy me a Tesla. Is that the agreement we got to, Dan?
I think we got it.
I think we nailed it.
Sorry about that, folks. Like, this is a really boring episode. It's really just us being like, come on, guys. This is not difficult. And I'm.
That's right. Reduce, reuse, recycle. Rinse, wash, repeat.
Captain Planet.
by our powers combined, we are. It's heart, wind, water, earth. I don't know. The heart kid was always sad, the little Indian guy. But
yeah. And I think with that, I mean, this could all be moot anyway because Trump's just gonna bomb the earth. So
that's true. We don't even know if this episode will ever air. However,
aliens, if you're listening. Global warming was a problem at one point on this planet, if you find these historical documents.
By our powers combined.
Keep looking at like old like film clips. You'll understand the reference he's making once you go through like everything that humanity has ever produced. I'm talking to aliens right now. George Norrie.
Welcome, alien listeners. How are you doing?
We just switched to Coast to Coast AM with George Norrie.
We should really guest on that show. Could you work on that? Could we?
Absolutely not.
Oh, okay, well, that's frustrating.
I feel like
at least Alex Jones.
I'm very certain that our listeners are very frustrated with where this episode has gone.
We might have cut this at least 10 seconds ago.
We probably should have. All right, everybody. Have a good night. Recycle. Be good to each other.
Stay frosty.
We're going to come up with a closing... stay frosty.
Because the environment...
But...
keep it hot. Chill out.
Chill out. Hold on.
Melt the ice caps and kill the polar bears.
We can do this.
Penguin love.
rise those tides.
Lower those tides. Lower your expectations. Hold on, we're going to come up with this.
Curb your tide expectations.
Curb... your
this is why no one listens to podcasts.
You know, we're gonna come up as soon as we're done recording, we're gonna come up with a really good
on the way home. You're gonna come up with like six of them and just like email them to me. It's gonna be good on his way home.
Okay.
Well, I think that's
it. Stay
classy, San Diego. Just
be good to each other.
Let's get some more less CO2.
More CO2.
Hold on. Me and you can reduce CO2.
Only you can prevent forest fires.
Only you can prevent planet fires.
That's not bad.
Planet fires?
Yeah. Either way, I'm going to edit all this over and just put the
oceans.
Not the Power Rangers theme song. That doesn't make any sense.
The solution is basic.
Is not pollution.
Hold on, hold on, hold on.
He's doing a science thing.
The solution, the solution is basic. We got to cut down on the CO2 so that the oceans won't be as acidic.
That's the one.
I did it.
We solved guns. Wait, that was too easy.
That was another
episode.
All right, I think we're done.
Earth! Wind! Water!
Hot!
Go Planet!
By your powers combined, I am Captain Planet!
Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down to zero. He's our powers magnified, and he's fighting on the planet side. Captain Planet, he's our hero. Gonna take pollution down.
Cause saving our planet is the thing to do. Looting and polluting is not the way. Hear what Captain Planet has to say.
The power is yours.